across all of you, our meeting. I'm going to allow Advocate Gwebu to present apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. Chairperson, I receive the following apologies to two ill health from the members, and it's honorable Mani Di Francis, honorable Manelli, honorable Mbushe, and then honorable Tango is attending another committee. Then, for Chair, I received an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister, as well as the PG. Those are the apologies, Chair.
Those are the apologies. We don't have a list of your delegation, Petra, today. Why? Did you send it? But you usually print copies for everyone, but I don't have it on my package here. However, is there any other apology? Petra? We don't have that apology.
But it was sent for Mr. McDonald.
It's not here. We submit apologies in writing.
Yeah.
The one of Ngwenya, we are going to notice because she's on her way to the meeting, stuck in the traffic jam. Hoping that by the time we expect her to present whatever on the report, she will be. Or she's not presenting today. Who is representing the DG? So the DG has no one to come to the meeting. Who's late? Okay. All right. It's fine. We are going to receive the briefing by SAT on second quarter 2023-24 financial year. We are holding this meeting at a time where the world is in turmoil because of what is happening in one corner of this world, which is the Israel-Palestine issue. And we've seen events unfolding. And some establishments are closed. South Africa has recalled its ambassadors. We're hoping that the Israel ambassador is done taking his clothes back to Israel. And in the midst of this, we've got hubs internationally as tourism. also reps in this meeting also, you need to take us into confidence whether our tourism international corporations and economic diplomacy won't be affected by what is happening in the world. We've seen in Cape Town more than 200,000 people were marching, expressing their solidarity towards the people of Palestine. And that has affected businesses. Saying this because I was also part of the march, I've seen what was unfolding there. And it was on a Saturday. And we are in a peak hour as a country. We are expecting visitors. And lots of visitors. We're expecting them. Do we have any plans to mitigate what might be a challenge for us as a country in terms of receiving tourists because of what is happening in the world? Because you can't talk tourism without talking international cooperation in tourism. Perhaps if you have any information on that, and because it's going to be an ongoing thing, because we could not go to Waterfront on Sunday and Seapoint because there was an ongoing protest marches. And Waterfront being the one of the most attractive establishments, you can imagine what was happening there, because many tourists, you will find them there in Waterfront for various activities which are there. So perhaps we also need to look into how we mitigate on that, given the fact that it's December season. We've seen in India also there's protests. McDonald's are closed, Starbucks are closed, and all these coffee shops that keep us going if we're unable to eat breakfast or take coffee in our households. So that will affect us as tourism. So if there are no plans in place to mitigate that, I think it's something that you need to sit and look into, so that we are not caught off guard as a country. We are able to mitigate as and when the need arises. On that note, I'm going to allow South African Tourism to present. Mr. Tim Harris has arrived. When I thought you were leading this as SET, then he entered. Because I was going to ask who is leading you when there's no DG, no minister, no board. So I'm going to allow you, Mr. Tim Harris, to lead your delegation.
Thanks, Chair. Apologies, I went to the wrong meeting room. But Babesha and I are here representing the board, and I know you've noted the apologies of the rest of the delegation. Hope you received the correspondence. Chair, we'll note your question on the kind of general state of the world economy and what that means for tourism. We'll, with your permission, deal with that at the end. So we'll lead with the presentation, and I'll hand over to the delegation. Thank you.
And we have no correspondence on your other board members' apology. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, board members present, as well as colleagues from SA Tourism. Chair will go through the quarter two performance report. I think in line with the previous meetings, I'll focus on finances, and our Chief Operating Officer will focus on non-financial performance, if that's acceptable.
I guess it has become a norm that you don't present, you are not a reference player here. You are a reference player there. So, yeah.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues from the department and South African Tourism. I'm going to take the meeting through firstly the environmental analysis in terms of how we're performing. I will then go into the quarter two exact performance in terms of where we are, and then I will hand over to CFO on the finances, and then I'll come back and talk to human capital and governance. Members, if I start with the international arrivals, what we have noted is that from January to August, there has been 5.4 million arrivals.
My message was, is it the summary that you are presenting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Thanks. 5.47 million arrivals, which is a significant uptick of 63% when we compare to last year. Primary driving force behind the numbers is Africa land, comprising of nearly 4 million arrivals. This reflecting a substantial increase of 66% when we compare to last year. The same time frame, Africa air amounted to 157,000, which is a growth of 38.4%. Within Asia, Australia, and the Middle East region, there were almost 240,000 arrivals, signifying an impressive surge again of 86.9%. So members, in terms of the numbers between January and August, our numbers are looking quite good when we are comparing them to last year. The next slide talks to the spend trends. What we note on the green bars there is that in 2019 there was 43 billion spent that was received, and in 2023 we have surpassed this and is sitting at 48 billion rand in terms of the spend so far. So you can already see that we have surpassed that level of 2019 as far as the spend is concerned. Obviously, there's quite a few factors, but it is a welcome trend nonetheless. If I move into domestic performance, in the second quarter, there's been a good upswing in terms of total trips and holiday trips when we're comparing into 2019. Quarter two witnessed a total of 10 million trips, culminating in a domestic tourism expenditure of 13 billion rand. So once again, domestic has led the pack and has done exceptionally well in terms of leading our tourism performance thus far. Then I will move into the organizational performance. In terms of organizational performance, next slide. Quarter two, we have achieved a level of 85% in terms of performance. The planned targets were 52, we've achieved 44 targets. And this is a significant improvement from quarter one, and it's an improvement in terms of quarter two as well, where we were at 71% last year. So a significant improvement in terms of the meeting of the targets thus far, sitting at 85%. Just to summarize where that performance is and what is driving that performance, I'm just going to read through, which I'm sure the members have read. I'm just going to take the members through the overview. So if we look at quarter two performance program one, which we call corporate support, in terms of what happened there, we implemented two of the three planned deliverables from the 2022-23 risk management maturity assessment report. This was the review of the combined assurance framework and project risk assessment. The review of the risk appetite and tolerance framework was not achieved due to a lack of capacity in this business unit. In this business unit, there was a fixed-term contracted person, which the contract came to an end, so that we don't have a person in that regard for now, and we are still considering another contract as a mitigation. We implemented the planned milestones of a corporate compliance campaign. This is including the audit action plan for 2022-23 and the allocation of findings to the responsible business units, and the determination assessment was conducted on some elements of findings and the outcome will be specialized accordingly. 52% of the valid audit recommendations was achieved, exceeding the target of 50%. This is attributed to timely implementation by management. 100% of compliant invoices were paid within 30 days from date of receipt due to effective internal controls. During this quarter, as part of the drive to promote integrity and ethical conduct in FTM, the entity monitored non-compliance to SCM policies and procedures and conducted organization-wide training and awareness on ethics in the public service. The target of developing a policy to execute the budget optimization strategy was not achieved due to delays in the finalization of the strategy itself. As reported in the first quarter, the project is adversely affected by the change in approach and the scope of work. The action plan to address the issues arising from prior year's staff engagement assessment was implemented through staff feedback sessions and the development of an internal communications framework. In terms of the employment equity targets, SA Tourism achieved 66% women against a target of 60, 44% women in senior and top management positions against a target of 50, 0% on persons with disability against a target of 2%, and maintained at least 75% black people, which is Africans, colors, and Indians, across all occupational levels against a target of 60%. Here, the moratorium in place currently impacts the achievement of some of the employment equity targets, whilst the voluntary disclosure continues to be a challenge in relation to persons with disabilities. 2% of the labor turnover as a percentage of average headcount was achieved against a percentage of 8%, less than 8%, and then the target of less than 8% vacancies was not achieved during the quarter because we ended at a 14% vacancy rate. This we attribute to the moratorium that is currently in place. Mm-hmm. The quarter two deliverables of the financial year 2023 roadmap of the ICT governance framework was achieved, including the implementation of the smart human capital and payroll solutions. If I go to the next program, which we call business enablement, the quarter two deliverables of the integrated digital and analytics operating framework progressed as planned, this because of Tamiya's planning of the outputs. With regards to the provision of data analytics and strategic insights, several tourism tracking surveys were produced, including the International Leisure Brand Tracker, Global Fieldwork Report, the Departure Survey Fieldwork Report, the Domestic Tourism Survey Fieldwork Report, the Business Events and Brand Equity Survey Fieldwork Report, as well as the Domestic Leisure Brand Tracker Fieldwork Report. So those were the pieces of work that were delivered. In addition, the quarterly trend analysis report and two thought leadership pieces and the quarterly tourism statistics and performance report were also produced. The quarter two improvement actions from the previous year of South African Tourism Corporate Brand Index that were achieved. This included a joint meeting with CEOs and CMOs of provincial tourism authorities, who are our key stakeholders, and the minister's marketing workshop with the tourism sector, and then the participation in several sector engagements. The plan of action to improve rating is the best company to work for or equivalent was not delivered as planned given the delays in the procurement process. The tender is being reissued in this quarter three. The quarter two milestones of the global PR and comms plan were executed, including amplification of the BRICS summit, promotion of the Netball World Cup, and the media launch of the tourism month, as well as the promotion of sports tourism. In terms of leisure tourism marketing program three, the quarter two milestones of the financial year 2023-24 global tourism brand campaign, this was achieved. This included brand activation at the BRICS summit and an activation at the pre-Rugby World Cup tournament. The global tourism campaign was localized in South Africa through the launch of the Siya Kolisi partnership. The collaborations and partnerships achieved in quarter one were implemented through the Siya Kolisi AV launch and the amplification of this AV through SATSA digital platforms, which are the industry platforms. The campaign plans for each hub were executed with progress reports per hub that they provided, except for Asia and the Australasia region. An intervention has been put in place to ensure that Asia and Australasia region, they improve the performance. The 360 degree West Africa, Central and East and Land Africa markets, those campaigns were implemented, and the progress reports were also provided. And the Style Brand campaign saw the promotion of 424 deals for provinces in 12 African countries and features in in-flight magazines of airlines promoting South Africa. As part of West Africa Summer campaign, 5 content creators were hosted to promote South Africa lifestyle events, Heritage Day activities, and were undertaken to profile South Africa as a tourist destination. We developed the 360 degree West Africa and Central Eastern Left markets brand campaign concepts for the quarter. Those were developed as per the plan. We implemented the Short Left Travel Week campaign from the 4th to the 10th of September with 920 Travel Week deals from all provinces that were featured on the Short Left platform. We developed and approved the Short Left Summer Deals Driven campaign concept for implementation from the 1st of October to the 14th of January 2024. The campaign aims to promote affordable and accessible domestic travel. We implemented 79 distribution channel initiatives against a target of 25. The target was exceeded as the entity leveraged additional opportunities with channel and provinces. We implemented the quarter two milestones for the global trade plan for the year, which included aviation chapter at the BRICS Business Council annual report, participation at the Inter-Provincial Cruise Tourism Workshop and BRICS Aviation Working Group Conference, and the Air Algerie workshop. We implemented the quarter two milestone of a global advocacy campaign, a program as was planned, and the key highlights included thought leadership pieces, media, panel engagements, as well as media articles. The quarterly tourism economic impact communication activity was successfully achieved through an opinion piece focusing on tourism performance towards the sector recovery. On business events, which is our conventions bureau, they achieved all the targets. To summarize, the planned milestones in the approved domestic B2B campaign plan were achieved, including two case studies and paid support services. The global B2B campaign was executed, including the launch of the Exceptionalism Global AV, two sector stories, and delegate boosting. We had 30 bid submissions, which were done as per the plan. There's two business events that were hosted in the VTSDs as per the plan, and these were the training workshop driving professionalism in events from 28 to 9 September in Mossel Bay, as well as the SATI Congress from the 30th of July to the 1st of August in Addo. The quarter two business events bidding impact report was produced, and the report highlights are as follows. During the first quarter, in partnership with the Local Business Events, Industry and Conventions Bureau, the entity sourced and submitted 33 bids for international business events to be hosted in South Africa between 2022 and 2029. The 33 bid submissions have a combined estimated economic value of just under R1 billion and may potentially attract 35,865 international and regional delegates to SA between the same period of 2022 to 2029. Thus far, South Africa has won 7 of the bids submitted. These secured bids may contribute R13 million to SA's economy between 2022 and 2025 and attract 675 international and regional delegates. The secured conferences will contribute to the regional spread of business events and will be hosted in Johannesburg, Tshwane, Cape Town, Sun City, as well as Port Shepstone. So we're looking forward to winning more of these bids and members. The post-show economic impact study briefing for Africa's travel Indaba reimagined was undertaken as planned. The planning for Meetings Africa 2024 reimagined was also undertaken with the formulation of the communication strategy. Planning for platforms like IMEX, America, IBTM, and WTM progressed as per the plan. Our last program is Program 5, which is the Grading Castle, the Tourist Experience. Here they also achieved all the targets. 4,261 establishments were graded against a target of 2.7. Special funding projects, provincial MOUs, and the Travel Start partnership were implemented in the entity's drive to meet the target. The quarter two milestones in the grading model and TGTSA value proposition roadmap were executed, which included the development of the change management plan, progress reported on the development of the operational model, and the TGCSA summer campaign was developed. Development of the annual product proposition roadmap in support of the product proposition developed in quarter one. A three-year tourism value chain strategy was approved as planned. The next step would be the development of the roadmap to guide the strategy execution. So thank you, members. I'm going to hand over to the CFO at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on slide 15, which is the revenue side of our income statement. From a revenue perspective, we at the end of quarter two, which is the period ended September of 2023, we had accrued over 40% of our annual budget. And linked to that, or the most significant line item on a year-to-date basis was the transfer from the department where we received 44% of our budget upfront. We've also included a column just to confirm that there were no funds released in quarter two versus what was projected in line with the allocation letter. From a TOMSA levy perspective, it's just confirmation that in line with the MOA where we get our funds post-approval by the TBCSA board, in quarter two there were no funds received, but we also then confirming that in quarter three we did receive an allocation from TBCSA. Then on the grading revenue side, Chair, it's confirmation that we had forecasted income of just over 6.6 million rand, and what was actually accrued and a portion of it is also received is over 1.1 million rand. And even though it's double of what we had in quarter one, we're sitting just over 574 million, it's still below targeted. And the key reason for that is linked to the Tourism Incentive Program, MOA, which we are working with the department with to finalize, because it's got an impact on graded establishments that qualify for the incentive. And that's the key reason that's driving that number down in grading revenue. And then on the sundry revenue line item, we had forecasted an income of over 25 million rand. Where we are currently sitting is just over 17 million rand. And the key line item there is the interest. So what we do is that we look at our operational expenses and money that's not needed immediately. So it's linked to the transfer that we would have received. We then, based on our working management, working capital management policy, then invest that in a short-term call account, because we're not allowed to invest for more than 3 months. Then we then supplement that line item with revenue. And then again, members, is confirmation that the other line item that goes into sundry revenue is our ATI revenue, and that we then disclose or recognize in the line item after it has gone through an audit by internal audit to verify that our expenses and as well as our income for ATI are complete and accurate. We then are going to put that sundry revenue line item or recognize it in the line item. It's confirmation that because we are in quarter three, that the report has been finalized and the amount will then see it when we come back to present quarter three. And then, Chair, on the expenditure per program level, on corporate support, we had expenditure forecast of just over 112 million rand. Actual expenditure is just over 127 million, and that's also based on year to date. We then show as well quarterly what we have incurred, and on a quarterly basis you'll see that there is the expenditure is actually lower than what was forecasted. And the reason for the over expenditure in the year to date is because in quarter one there was transactions that we recognized linked to Grab. The biggest ones are the office payments that we make aligned to our contract. So it's prepayments for our rentals. But as presented during quarter one, is that what then happens during the financial year, that those get amortized so that you don't sit with over expenditure at the end of the year. Also included in expenditure, because we have to account for it and it's aligned to the accounting standards that we use, is for the assets. So your depreciation and amortization, which is a non-cash item, also impacts the 127 million rand for corporate support. But if we then look, and I'll get to it when we do economic classification presentation, is that at salary levels, so the cost of employees line item, because of the vacancies, there is under expenditure there. Then on program two, which is our business enablement, this is where the investment for research, insights, and analytics sit. The expenditure there, which was forecasted, was just over 33 million. What has been spent as well as accrued is just over 45 million rand. And the key reason there again is maybe let me start with quarterly. So what we've done in the column that deals with quarterly is just to show that for quarter two, the expenditure was lower than what was forecasted. So we, in the actual quarter, it was 10 million versus a 12 million forecast. But on a year-to-date or cumulative perspective, so when we take quarter one into account, there is that over expenditure. And in this specific program, it's also linked to prepayments in the contracts that we have to do for our departure surveys, our brand track work that happens in insights and analytics. But similar to other prepayments, as you amortize over the financial year, you will not sit with an overspend at the end of the year. And that's why we're tracking it as well on a basis. It's the same with program three, where we then account for the work that we do in the country, so tourism execution work, as well as global brand and marketing work. From a expenditure perspective, so forecast year to date, we had focused just over 540 million. What has been expensed is 559 million, or just over that. Again, I'm just going to go to the quarterly tracking. When we go to quarterly tracking, we'll see that in the quarter, we had projected, just specific to the quarter, 241 million rand, and what has been tracked against the forecast is 269 million. So the overspend is cumulative from quarter one. And the other line item which is influencing leisure tourism marketing is the unrealized forex loss that we have to recognize when we consolidate our books in ZAR. So the books in the countries will be in different currencies, but for us to be able to consolidate them, we have to translate them at a rate, and it then gives you a non-cash unrealized forex loss depending on the rate at the time of reporting. And then in program four, which is business events, what's key to note there is that we had expenditure of just over forecasted 165 million again year to date, and then what has been spent is 173. Again, it's over it's a year to date period, but we're also then tracking on the right in terms of quarter to quarter where we're sitting. So from a business events perspective, our actual expenditure, just if we isolate quarter two alone, is sitting at 36.3, and then what we had forecasted is sort of over 51 million. Then what's key to note here, members, is that with business events, the actual expenditure will also include the amount of rollover from treasury, because one of the things that we do in this specific program is that at the end of the financial year, when we have our audited financials, we go to treasury and we then ask to roll over or retain surpluses and then prove to them that we have audited commitments. So we got the approval to retain those funds, and then we then recognize as we spend it in the expense. And that's why you'll see the expenditure includes current budget as well as amounts that have been approved for rollover. Also included in business events, which is part of the 173, is the upfront commitments that were made in quarter one around sales events as part of program four. And then lastly, our visitor experience, which is program five, we had forecasted an expenditure of just over 52 million. From an actual expenditure perspective of what we spent on in grading activities as well as the brand experience work that we do in this program, we spent just below 45 or just over 45 million rand, which is 45.1 million. There was an activity that was supposed to take place in program five in quarter two, but it has now moved to quarter three, and it relates to plug production. And that's the reason why we are then sitting with an underspend in that line item. Then just lastly, to give the quarterly tracking, that for quarter two, the expense was projected to be or forecasted to be just over 30 million, and what has been spent
specifically on quarter two to date is just over 20 million rand. Chair, I will then move on to expenditure by economic classification, where we then isolate the employee cost versus the other goods and services. From an employee cost perspective, it's just confirmation that our consolidated employee line expense is sitting at 114 million versus the 127 million which was forecasted when we then costed the entire organogram at the beginning of the year when we're budgeting. And the main reason for that are the current vacancies that we have in the organization. And then from a goods and services perspective, again, it's, we have an expenditure in year to date of 778 forecast for goods and services, but where we're currently sitting, it's just over 800 million. And the key reasons for that are the different variances that I've explained in the different line items. So it's linked to corporate support, where you also have non-cash items, as well as the contractual upfront payments. It's also linked to business enablement, where you have upfront payments for subscriptions. Also linked to the unrealized forex loss. I think we're sitting at 60 million in quarter one, so it will also influence that line item, even though it's not cash. And then just lastly, Chair, the last slide, which is on finances, is 18, and it shows where we are spending our money from a goods and services perspective. So the biggest portion of our budget is still going to media, so it's also to drive brand awareness and brand positivity. So we then invest in traditional media as well as digital media. You also have a significant cost that is linked to activation, so international activations as well as domestic activations to drive visibility as well. And then the other top three line items relates to production of marketing material that we then use to market South Africa. Chair, I'll pause here and allow the COO to go through some of the capital. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On human capital, on the employment equity, just want to give it a breakdown. This table shows us in terms of male, female, and foreign. With male, top management is 0. Senior management, there's 5. Professionally qualified, there's 23. Skilled, 14. Semi-skilled, 4. Unskilled, 0. So total permanent from that in terms of male is sitting at 46. And then there's 3 contracted individuals there. So the grand total in terms of how many male we have is 49. If I look at female, I'm just going to the subtotal, but you can see the breakdown in terms of African, colored, Indian, Chinese, and white. There is 2 in terms of top management, one African, one Indian. There is senior management, there is 9, professionally qualified, 35, skilled, 36, semi-skilled, 4, the total of permanent women is 86, if we add the contract labor, 86, and then the total female complement is 92. Members will know that because we have offices across the world, we have foreign employees. So the total of foreign employees is divided into a total 12 male, 21 female, and there's a total of 33. So the total complement of SA Tourism then will be 174 as we have it right now. The next slide will talk to governance. Honourable Chair, we've taken the feedback from the meeting to give the breakdown of the board meetings. We were asked to clarify which ones were special, ordinary, virtual, physical, so we've done exactly that. And so in this slide, which is page 22, we'll show you meetings from the 8th of August. You can see that there was one special board meeting, which was virtual, attended by two members of the board. On the 22nd, there was a special meeting, which was virtual, which was attended by all of the board members. On the 30th of August, there was a special meeting, virtual, attended by all members. And then in September, again, we clarified there in terms of there was a physical meeting on the 5th of September, attended by three board members. 26th, it was a continuation of the meeting of the 5th, attended by, it was virtual, by three of the board members. Then the committee meetings, we have the marketing and commercial committee. It met on the 24th of July. It was an ordinary meeting. It was physical. It was attended by its chairperson, which is Ms. Ndambo. The awards committee of the grading took place on the 24th of July. It was ordinary meeting. It was physical, attended by the chairperson, Ms. Ndambo. Human capital, on the 25th, it was ordinary, it was virtual, attended by its chairperson there, Mrs. Zama. Audit and risk committee, on the 26th, ordinary meeting, virtual, attended by the chairperson, colleague Zama, and Ms. Bosa, who is also a committee member. So members, this is the end of the report for quarter two for South African Tourism. I thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Can I note this? Honorable members. Honorable Goma.
Sure.
Honorable Matoma. Honorable Goma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to everyone. Honorable Chair, I wish to welcome the report and also wish to actually applaud the entity for the good work, you know, the manner in which they have worked, especially having lack of resources, in particularly for this time of the season, in this time of the season where we need to see the entity marketing South Africa in the special period of the year where we expect to see most of the international people visiting South Africa. And the good work that they have done is actually a very good thing to see and to hear from them. Honorable Chair, it's just that there's an item which I didn't see in reflect on the agenda. I thought maybe we'll be actually having an opportunity to deal with that, but I think after this presentation we'll deal with those issues of reflecting to the work that must be done by the same entity and the resources thereof. So I will pause there, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much. Just to say well done to the entity. Thank you.
Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning to everybody. I just have a few clarity-seeking questions. I think your summary has been quite in detail. So thank you for the presentation. You highlighted, you know, the prepayments have been done and, you know, we know the reasoning, etc. I just wanted to find out, you know, all these prepayments that have been done, are they in line or in accordance with, you know, Treasury regulations? I mean, is this a norm? Is this something that is, you know, acceptable? On page 13, with regard to the three-year tourism value chain strategy, which was approved, you said that, you know, you actually now developing the roadmap. Can I perhaps ask when will this roadmap be developed and when will this be available? Basically, I'm asking for time frames because it's good to have all these plans that you're looking at, but if we have some time frames so that we can see an oversight of the implementation and see how it's going to be effective. My third question is, we have the tourism master plan and the tourism sector recovery plan. Now, how are these two actually going to be working hand in hand or correlated so that each of these actual plans reach the outcome, you know, actually wants to achieve, and how is it going to be then assisting the tourism sector going forward? My last question, although you've, you know, stated and explained with quarter one over expenditure, quarter two where we are, and obviously the funds you have available right now with regard to quarter three, and we know the situation, I think Honourable Konga has touched on it, but looking at the amount of over expenditure is a bit concerning, you know, comparing it to the underachievement of some of the targets. Now, what contingency plans are you actually putting in place to ensure that, you know, there is no over expenditure at the end of the financial year? I'll stop there, Chair.
Honorable thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greeting to you and the members and the staff of FAT. Honorable Chairperson, first we must appreciate the presentation, but I have some few questions that I need some clarity on it. The first one, Chairperson, is the issue of vacancies. Because we are talking about 18 and underspending because of vacancies. So now I'm trying to check, when are they going to fill those vacancies? Do they have a target for filling those vacancies? And the other one, Chairperson, is the issue of campaigns. Because they are talking about they do have campaigns for domestic tourism. If they can give us where? Pay provinces, because it can help to understand and evaluate what you are saying. And the other issues, Honorable Chairperson, if you can check, Honorable Chairperson, on slide number 8, where they are talking about under year-on-year cooperative analysis. Their target was 37%, their plan was 37%, but they only achieved 24%. I'm trying to understand, Chairperson, because you see this unachievement is actually causing a lot of unemployment, because if you do achieve this, I think we can have some more employment in our country. And the other, Chairperson, the issue is under slide number 9. You see, Honorable Chairperson, the bullet one where they say the view of the risk appetite and tolerance framework was not achieved due to a lack of capacity in the business unit. I'm worried, Chairperson, if they don't have the capacity at this scenario of department, actually, of entities, actually, worried if they can actually qualify that one and give us when are they going to help us to have some capacity in the department. And the other one, Chairperson, is the issue of people with disability, of people with disability. Their target was 2%. I think the country target. But they didn't achieve. They achieved it. Why the target was not achieved? Because if they hit zero, it means they are doing nothing. And the other person, the issue, because we always talking about the villages, the rural township, and the small profit, the problems that can talk to. There is nothing that they are saying on their report. Because it can actually make us to understand, because we cannot say we do have a campaign, an international campaign and domestic campaign, whereas we are failing to do a smaller campaign in our areas, where we need most of the role of this tourism. And the last one, Chairperson, is the issue of, I think the last one, Chairperson, on slide number 10. Slide number 10, Honorable Chairperson. If they can actually clarify, sometimes I don't understand that. On bullet number 5, the plan of action to improve the rating as the best company to work for survey or equivalent was not delivered, plan during the delay in procurement. If they can clarify that, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think where I was starting on, it was the same in page 10 on the delay. I think we need to get an explanation on what delay in procurement. I'll pass that one because it was covered by Honorable Ketamawan. Chair, there's a word that I used to say we have improved from where we are previously to where we are now. We have improved. Now, I ask myself, improved in what senses? Because those that improve are those who are in developed countries. They have something, and from that something they improve from it. We're a developing country, and we need to develop. Now, when we say we have improved, meaning we were failing, and from our failure, we haven't reached the target. We are still going there. So that's not improvement, it's failure. What we need is to be shown here is the work that we said we are going to do. We've done the work. That's what we want currently. Then from the 100% that we have, then we can start to improve by doing other things, moving forward. But it is called arrested development. It's as if we're developing, but we are just catching to our own target. We can't meet them. So I can't call that an improvement. Chair, I see in page 11 here, opening this meeting, you gave global politics on where we are, our support for Palestine. And you can see that through our support for Palestine, other people are threatening to say, we'll take AGOA away. So it is telling us that even when working, we need to know our friends that we can do business with. Now, I see here that we are not improving our situation in Asia, because China is our friends in BRICS. We need more people from Asian Pacific to visit. We need more visitors from China. So that hub, things need to happen. Last time, Chair, you asked here, How can you have a hub and the one who must be working in that hub is working from Pretoria? How possible? How are we to improve from there? Because soon, Chair, you have seen with the war of Ukraine and Russia that these people have a tendency of just sanctioning us at any time. So with China, we know we have a friend that is not going to sanction us tomorrow, then we'll still have tourists visiting the country. So we need to do well when it comes to China. And it's good numbers. It's more than 1 billion people. I'll go to page 11, Chair. On page 15, I would also want, I'm driving this point, trying to pick up that one of Honorable Keta Mabala when he was talking about our rural areas, other areas of development in South Africa. Now, with this TOMSA levy, I saw some adverts that was done to promote Cape Town in the name of South Africa. What's the arrangement there? Is that money not supposed to come to you? Then you are the ones who will have such programs. Are they supposed by law? Are they supposed to have that video of promoting Cape Town in the name of South Africa, a video where it's not telling us about other parts of South Africa by name, but Cape Town, it comes out where there is a place called Cape Town you can come and visit. So I would like to know what is the arrangement with the video, and is that money not supposed to come to you? I'll go to page 16. I think the Honorable covered me. It was on upfront commitment. She covered me there. I'm not going to dwell much on it. I will go to page 23, Chair. According to the Act, the special meeting is called within 14 days after a member of the board requested for that special meeting. So I see there are special meetings next to each other. I don't know whether these special meetings are an afterthought of a meeting that was there, then we are calling another special meeting urgently. What the question to people appointed by minister to take care of the business of the board is, what was this special meeting all about? And also, it's just that the minister is not there. On the 8th of August, you have two members having a meeting with each other, and he's speaking to what we said, people must be added there. I mean, it's something else to just two meeting people deciding issues of an entity. And again, on the committee meetings, I see here 26th July, there is it's showing that there is S. Botha who's committee member, but here on other ordinary meetings we can see members of these committees. How many members do you have per committee? And Chair, allow me to raise this one, because you know South Africa it's a tricky country. Tomorrow there can be a commission like Zondo Commission, and will be called to come and answer for some of the things. My question is to Mr. Temeris, that I see here that they are saying you the chairperson of the board, and I went through the gazettes that are gazetting that arrangement, and I do not see a gazette that is appointing Mr. Temeris as the chairperson. So my question is, which gazette is appointing him as chairperson? Because according to the act, he must be appointed by a gazette. Because the only gazette that I see with his name as chairperson, that there is a gazette that is fixing an error. It's not a gazette that is saying we are gazetting. They are fixing an error, and I don't remember any error where Mr. Mtambo was appointed as an error, because he came into this meeting and he said, yes, I was appointed as the chairperson, and as the result, I said I can't do it. Timaris must continue. So I want it to be cleared in the meeting. Which gazette appointed him as the chairperson? Thank you.
I think the person that is well versed in terms of responding to your last question is not here. Both of them, they are not here. The DG is not here. The minister is not here. I'm not sure if the team from tourism, South African tourism, will be able to respond to that. I'm interested to know as to when are you going to get tired of coming to portfolio committee meetings and report that the status on the persons living with disability is 0.0.0%. When are you going to get tired? Because every time you come to the portfolio committee, you highlight this. So you come and highlight this consistently here for what must happen. When are you going to get tired? Perhaps when you get tired, it's when you'll be able to implement what is on the Employment Equity Act of this country. When are you going to get tired? The issue of budget optimization strategy not achieved is something that we raised in the past meeting, where you were here and you were supposed, if I check my notes, you were supposed to meet and outline the approach in terms of enhancing the revenue and generation. Now, these things that were raised in the portfolio committee previously, we are supposed to get a progress report. And seemingly there has been no improvement in that regard. When do you intend to improve? Perhaps that should be the question that I must pose. When do you intend to improve? You come here, you report passionately about the milestones, global tourism plan campaigns, what. And in that, you mention a certain SIA goalies. A project which you collapsed, because in the last meeting you came here, you reported that you stopped that thing. Did you appoint or collaborate with SIA Kolisi because you wanted to tick a box? And then after you've ticked the box, you decided to collapse that campaign because you have ticked the box already.
What was the intention? Because your report on page 1 is very glossy, beautiful. But in the midst of that campaign, you decided to collapse it. So what was the intention when you collaborated with them in the RP? And moving forward, what are your plans? In your report, there's a lot of over expenditure which is recorded. Very big over expenditure which is recorded here. Over expenditure 11.2 million. Program 3 18.3 million. Program 4 7.5 million. A lot of over expenditure. And what is said is that there is no value for money in all these over expenditures. And I think in our last meeting we did raise that it would be prudent that when you come to the portfolio committee, you are able to break down your over expenditure, under expenditure, state the reasons, like the department did with us at some point, where we're able to even understand that in some instances there was some sort of consequence management. And then you are sitting with a report 2023-2024 with more than forecasted expenditure that is amounting to 9.6 or 906 million. You know? So, I don't want to sit here and say you have achieved when you have not achieved. Because that will be misleading on my part. You are consistently raising the issue of upfront payment, which I am finding by the Auditor General. And case in point is the issue of the tomb, where you did this, and you are continuing to do the upfront payment. On what end are you doing this upfront or prepayments, as you correctly put it, in terms of the accounting language or language of economics? So, for me, with all the red flags that are highlighted by honorable members, you need to explain to the portfolio committee what measures in place and what systems in place that you have set to ensure that all these red flags are mitigated. I'm going to allow you to respond.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, let me deal with just the, I think the...
Sorry, Mr. Timaris, the last point is on the last page. The board, if my memory serves me well, was appointed in May. A three-member board. If my memory serves me well, it was appointed in May. That's why in your breakdown,
you've got a July ordinary meeting, July ordinary meetings. So, do you want to tell us that June, about it in May, June, July, you did not have meetings of the court? What are you trying to explain here? Because I'm checking my notes in this book. On the 2nd of May, it was reported in the deliberations on the issues of the appointments and what have you. It was on the 2nd of May 2023. And now you come to the portfolio committee. You present a report on the board as requested by the portfolio committee. But your report July, your report August, your report September. What happened in June? But there are no board meetings in May. But there are no board meetings early July. Because your report here on the board meetings, they highlight 24 July. Are you trying to mislead the portfolio committee? What are you trying to do? Where's the company secretary? Acting CEO, where's the company secretary?
She is not here.
Why?
She's in Johannesburg. She was not part of the delegation.
She wasn't able to travel.
The company secretary must finish the portfolio committee with a proper report. And that report must start after the board was appointed. That's what was requested. It can't be that you are going to come to the portfolio committee and mislead us as if you are a bunch of illiterates that are unable to read. It can't be. You have July, you've got August, you've got September. There's no May, there's no June. There's July. And July 2013. So I think you need to clarify to the portfolio committee. Why did you decide to write the report as such? Can continue, Mr. Timaris.
Thanks, Chair. We'll request that from the company secretary. The two questions I wanted to deal with are the questions from Honourable Matumba, and then the rest I'll hand over to the delegation. On the question of the recently published advertisement, this was funded and run entirely by PBCSA. And I'll remind the Honourable Member, in terms of the Memorandum of Agreement between South African Tourism, TOMSA and PBCSA, South African Tourism advises on the TOMSA Collaborative Fund and doesn't participate in decision-making processes. So certainly we think it's an excellent initiative driven by the private sector. But it didn't involve our budget. We weren't involved in the operations either. The second question was on the special meeting. So, Chair, you'll get the report you requested from the company secretary. But just to point out that in the Act, in Section 18, it obviously refers to the four ordinary meetings, so once every quarter. And then Section 18.2 says the chair may convene a special meeting of the board, and those are many of the meetings covered in this report, where we were dealing with things like the reports into potential wrongdoing, the acting appointments, some of the disciplinaries. There was quite a lot of work through this period. Those were conducted, many of them through special meetings. And then the clause that the member's referring to is 18.2b, which is the requirement that the board must convene a special meeting if the majority of the members ask for one. So that's the one that has to be convened within 14 days. As I understand it, it's essentially a mechanism to allow the board to force a special meeting if they need to. I'll just reassure the member that this board has operated almost entirely on the consensus so far. So we haven't needed to activate 18.2b, but the meetings that the member's asking about are happened in terms of 18.2a. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the question from Honourable Ishmael on the tourism master plan, which is the implementation of the tourism recovery plan, and whether or not that has been taken into account in our plans. I can assure you, Honourable Member, one of the things that we did was to review at program level our current plans to look that we are aligned to the master plan that was approved in October 2023. That process is currently going through our board committee meetings for approval to ensure alignment, that plans that we made up front actually aligned to the master plan, which is aimed at guiding the implementation. You also asked on the prepayments that have been done and whether or not there are contingency plan as they drive the over expenditure. What we've done is that in quarter two, we began to look at contracts. So we've got contracts that have prepayments as a condition. And those are the ones where, if you are then motivating for a prepayment, would be used to approve the payment. But what becomes key is the percentage. So our contracts are not prescriptive in terms of is it a 20% upfront payment and or 50% upfront payment. So we can still comply with the contract without a significant outlay. So where we can negotiate with our suppliers, we don't do prepayment, and it's based on our current cash flow conditions. But where suppliers insist that it's a contractual obligation, we then make sure that we limit the exposure for SA Tourism. It's to manage our current cash flow as well. And it's something, I think the effect will be felt in the next quarters, but when you start to look at quarter two, you'll see the limitation where the forecast is actually less than the expenditure. But unfortunately, because there were significant outlays in quarter one, the year-to-date does have a spike, and that's something that we're just trying to fix going forward. So we put in place, and it's also forced by the cash flow position. You can't pay upfront without applying limitations to it. So it's a balance between complying with the contractual relationship as well as balancing our cash flow that we have. And also I think that the learning for us as well is that where we can avoid it, we should not put it in our contracts so that we don't sit with long-term contracts that have a prepayment condition. You also asked, I spoke about the review. The other thing that we're doing may be linked to what are your contingency plans, because we are sitting with over expenditure. Part of our expenses are commitments that we've made. So we go and we create a PO, and sometimes it's over a long term. So it's committed, but it's not yet invoiced. So part of managing your cash flow is going back to what we call encumbrances. So it's all your commitments and reviewing if there's an opportunity to save there. So I'll use an example where we went to open commitments in our media. I showed that media was a significant significant investment where the bulk of our budget is going. When we then reviewed those POs, we found that there were POs that were open, so it's showing as a commitment
for a prolonged period, and there's an opportunity there to cancel and then get the money back to SA Tourism, and we've issued those instructions for agencies, and we're working closely with our marketing colleagues because they project manage that relationship with the agencies to ensure that we also don't sit with instances where we have commitments that haven't realized, because that money must then come back to the entity. That's one of the things that we've also done to manage the over expenditure. You also touched on the 3-year value chain strategy. What was the approach, and you were asking for timelines. I know that colleagues have. I'll ask Bronner just to deal with that specific one to give the timelines. There was also a question on from Honourable Matumba on upfront commitments. I've touched on it when I was dealing with prepayments. I think the key thing for us now going forward is to ensure that we, with the transactions that we are triggering now, in fact, we started in quarter two, we don't have significant upfront payments, and where it can be avoided legally, we avoid that. And then you also asked about our arrangement with TVCSA. The arrangement with TVCSA, I think because it started, and you'll see that if we look at past presentation and past financial records, it was always termed a voluntary TOMSA levy. And the reason for that is that because we're dependent on the approval from TVCSA to get it as South African Tourism. And the reason why in the new MOA we put in place a clause that says it's only due to us when we get approval from TVCSA was to show that they have the authority to decide whether or not to declare the funds to us. So to answer your specific question, that money that was used for the ad, was it not due to South African Tourism? We've done that analysis, and the question in fact came before the ad, where we were asked that you have money. I think at the end we were sitting with 150 million that was due to South African Tourism that was audited. So we did go back to them, and there was confirmation that they are not using, it's not part of the 150 million. But then over and above that, I can also confirm to the committee members that we've received the full 150 million that was due to us. So it's not part of the funds that are due to SA Tourism, and that's something that we continue, a conversation that we continue to have with them, so that even with the auditors, when they test commitments of revenue, we are able to prove to them that whatever was due to SA Tourism has been paid to us. Chair, Andrew Matumba also asked about Asia as a growth market. In fact, linking it to BRICS, so it would be the China and India that we're focusing on. Yes, I mean, our insights are showing us that even with India, population is growing and they're going to be high spenders going forward. So there is a focus in those markets. And I know that in the tourism execution section, program 3, they do a lot of work together with the RGM around the work of Asia, and maybe then the Chief Operating Officer can just touch on key plans specifically to China and India around how we are targeting that market. Chair, there was also a question from Honorable Sithole on the plan for best company to work for. Maybe let me start with this one. There was a question around villages, towns, and small dorpies, and whether or not SA Tourism is doing any work that's driving traffic or work in those areas. The answer is yeah, we are doing work. If we drill down into our program 4, so in the business event space, there's a lot of targeted business development work that we do that is aimed to address what we call geographical spread. So it also then touch on villages, towns, and small dorpies. I also know that in program 5, which is our visitor experience, there's a whole lot of work that is being done in the BQB space, or our basic quality verification, where we want products in villages, towns, and small dorpies to be customer ready so that we can then start driving traffic to those areas as well. Your other question, Honorable Sithole, was on the plan for best company to work for. I mean, the specific question was, why was it not delivered? I know that in the slide it does say it will be delivered in quarter three after checked, and after the confirmation I've received is that it was an unresponsive tender. So the tender did go out, and there was a criteria in the scope of work that wasn't responded on based on what the team then got back. They then decided to cancel on that basis and reissue. I am told that the reissued tender has now closed. You also ask Honorable Pitole on the domestic tourism campaign, that what is South African tourism doing. There was a launch in October of our kickstarting summer linked to the domestic tourism campaign, and I know that the domestic team led by the Chief Operating Officer in the tourism execution side have a detailed rollout plan for what we are doing for the South African market, and I'll just ask our CEO to just touch on the plans for summer in the domestic tourism side. Chair, there were also a request. There was also a request from you, Chair, that we give we finish the full consolidated board meetings. We will do that. We'll consolidate what we presented in quarter one and just add what we currently have, so that there is a complete report that we then share. Chair, you also asked when we will start reporting that we haven't met the people with disabilities target. And part of what we're currently doing to address that is that, and it's a submission that is led by our human capital, is that we are reviewing our entire organogram, identifying capacity, and it's going, we're taking it to the REMCO, so we're currently busy with REMCO meetings or board meetings, subcommittees, so that we are then identify those critical posts, and once we've got the approval to recruit, whether on a fixed-term basis or permanent, one of the key drivers would be to address the specific line item or condition that we then comply with our APP targets when it comes to employing people with disabilities. So it will be targeted through this entire thing where we review our organogram, seeking approval to recruit and making sure that we target people with disabilities. Chair, you touched on, and you are right, on the optimization strategy that was not achieved from quarter one. And in quarter one, when we presented, we then said we put in place to make sure that we then achieve the target, and they are quarterly by the end of the year. I think in the background, what we've done is that we've caught up on the strategy side. What was due for quarter two was the policy, and then there's an implementation plan in quarter three. So where we're currently sitting is we are finalizing. So the strategy, it wasn't meant in quarter one, so that's great, but we caught up. We're dealing with the policy matter, and I know that for quarter three is the implementation plan. So we are playing catch up, because we also don't want to come back and say we haven't met these targets regardless of what happened in the past. So we are working on making sure that we catch up on that. Chair, I take your guidance on the breakdown of expenditure. That's information that we can provide, and I'll make sure that we then provide it when we come back to present, in line with what our department is doing. Chair, you also asked that these red flags, how will they be mitigated? We are tracking the targets that we are not achieving, so that we then put action plans, be it at an executive level as well as operationally, to make sure that we mitigate them. So issues of over expenditure are top of mind. It's not only linked to us dealing with contractual obligation, but also balancing the cash flow. So there is a conversation in the entity around within how we manage the red flag of over expenditure and prepayment. And then just on the issue of prepayment, the learnings from the audit is that we don't do anything unless it's in the contract. for payments. So we then make sure that whoever motivates for any prepayments, they reference the actual clause in the contract that allows for a prepayment. Chair, I'll pause and just allow my colleague to deal with the question on the 3-year value chain strategy, so just to give the timelines on the approach. I'll also then just high level on the Asia, the growth market. I know there is work that we're doing in Asia. There was also a question from Honorable Sithole around the domestic tourism campaign, around what our rollout plan is and what we've already done, starting in August when there was a launch. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond to the question regarding 3-year value chain strategy, absolutely aligned, and Q4 will have a roll-up plan which breaks the program down into phases with deliverables and targets. Absolutely. Thank you.
Is she not the head of marketing? Who is supposed to respond on the global campaign?
On the global campaign? The questions regarding the Sia Kolisi campaign?
Yes.
On the Sia Kolisi campaign, we are still contracted with him. And his contract is live until May, June next year. And there will be more work done with him.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll deal with the two questions in the meantime. The one question was about the Asia market, in particular China. I just want to reiterate to the members that as things stand, and members would remember that China only opened post-COVID. They opened in February this year. So they have just been having a lag in terms of as a market, because they were the last market to open around the world following COVID pandemic. But with that said, between the beginning of the year and now, Asia is showing a very, very good performance. They're currently 86% ahead of last year. We believe that they will actually catch up quite quickly, and we might end the year in the pre-pandemic, in the 2019 numbers. So that is just the overall market at the moment. China is obviously a big driver in that market, as well as India. But one of the issues that we know about this market is the airlift issue. Airlift in that region has not fully reopened. We currently having the Air China having the direct flight to South Africa, and we continue to work with the airlines on a drive to really try and make sure that we can get more direct airlines flying into South Africa, because that is a big driver for the numbers coming into South Africa. So that is what I would like to deposit in as far as the Asia market. But as a forecast market, definitely. As we are now traveling with the minister, the RGM traveling with the minister to Asia, the marketing activities that they're going to be rolling out in that market as well, just as we continue the work. So we continue to do the work and rolling out the campaigns on digital and socials, and making sure that there's ongoing visibility in that market for South Africa. As far as the domestic market is concerned, members will recall that we run our domestic campaign under the blanket concept of short left, And in a year, we run various sort of campaigns within the shortlist. We start the year with the Easter campaign. We then come to the shortlist travel week, which is the Black Friday of tourism, which happens in September, during September month. And then we get into the summer campaign, which is what we're doing right now. And the summer campaign will go through between this quarter all the way to the next quarter, because summer is quite prolonged in South Africa. And the campaign that we are running is a 360-degree campaign. So we have got above the line, below the line elements. We are currently on TV, on radio, on digital platforms, on out-of-home platforms, digital billboards, you know, everywhere in the country. If I'm required to produce a breakdown of where those billboards are, we can do that, but it is nationwide. Further than that, we then run a hosted program where we make sure that we maximize the word of mouth. We take people to various parts of the country to make sure that they can experience it and they can be able to talk about it. But at the core of our summer campaign and just the shortlist campaign, we run what we are calling the deal-driven campaign. And what we do is that we partner with the industry to package various deals, which we then promote through these platforms that I've spoken about. And also they then get promoted on the shortlist deals platform. So the idea here is that we first will go to industry, we ask them to give us the deals and the packages, and we continuously be uploading them on our shortlist .co.za platform, and then we then promote the debt sessions for consumers to be able to get into that line. But over and above that, we will then we continue to work with the provinces to look at potential activations in the different provinces, as well as our summer campaign linked to the welcome campaign that is we run together with the grading team to really enhance the visitor experience when consumers get into the country in South Africa. Obviously, the summer campaign also gets linked to a whole lot of events that are happening in and around the country, where we will pick up on a lot of these events and make sure that we also continue to load those on our platforms that are owned by the private sector, as we know that lifestyle events are a big reason for travel during summer. Thank you.
Do you have any follow-up questions, honourable members? Honourable Matumba, mine is perhaps you need to empower us. What constitutes an ordinary board meeting? I think that will empower me because in your report I see ordinary board meetings but one member of the board in that particular meeting. So I think you need to empower me as to what constitutes an ordinary board meeting or a board meeting thereof, so that when we leave this room, at least we would have empowered one another. Honorable Madam, follow up.
thanks, Chair. I asked a question on page 23 to say 26 July is showing that it was virtual, ordinary committee meeting, which was attended by K. Zama and S. Botha, committee member, right? So here we are being shown that there is a committee member who attended. Now, other meetings we don't see committee members. So we want to understand how many committee members are there per committee, and how many are attending, because it's showing 1%. The other question is, how are payments done with virtual versus physical? Are you paying them the same amount? Because if it's virtual, they've spent less. Okay, then on 22, yes, Chair, it will be futile for me to ask this one. It was on adding members here, because we can't see any board that is going to be appointed. It's unfortunate that the minister is not there, because really, Chair, the entity that's got a budget of more than 1 billion, where you have two people attending a board meeting, the other one is chairing, the other one is attending. I don't know, when you want to talk, you raise your hand, you open for discussion. It's just the two of you. So, and you are discussing a budget of more than 1 billion, two people, Honorable Comp. So these are things that it's unfortunate that the minister is not there. And really, this thing helped us of breaking down this report, helped us then to come to understand. I mean, we now know that some board members don't attend the virtual meeting. They give an apology for a virtual meeting, something you just put there and you do your thing. They are not attending. Then, Chair, you know, I see Mr. Tim Harris here is saying there must be four meetings, quarterly meetings, right? You know, we are playing with English. When we're saying you are having more than four meetings, they say we must have four. Then when you are coming to say, but you are appointed 21 April, you are not having meetings, they go back to four meetings. Or no, we are supposed to have four. Now let's go to the Act then and define it properly. I'm happy you have a lawyer next to you. If I'm wrong, he will tell you that as well. The Act is saying the board must hold at least four meetings. So the word at least, it's saying not less than, not so. So you are not sitting. What the chairperson is giving is true. You are not sitting. There is a gap here ever since you were appointed from 21 April up until July. There must be something there, and we need to get that report. And even if you say we are having quarterly meetings, Chair, there were so many decisions and letters, decision taken and letters, without a meeting. So we will need to know the meetings which were, because there are decisions, there are letters which emanate from meetings. So we want to know, when you wrote this letter, was it a decision of a board or a decision of an individual? So that's why we need to know, when did you sit? In that way we will know whether this thing was on autopilot or there was a collective decision of the board. Lastly, Chair, Honorable Ketamabala spoke on job creation, and one thing that creates jobs is summer campaign. How, where are you with summer campaign? How far? And what is happening with summer campaign? I mean, some of the things we must raise them here rather than to wait for you to give us a report. How far are you with the summer campaign? And last, Chair, I will go and listen to the recordings. You know, I'm sure last time here we were told that that video of Trevor Noah of advert of marketing Cape Town in the name of South Africa was, the money spent was on collaborative funds. They said no, it's not this one of APP, it's on collaborative funds. Now that you can't spend that collaborative fund that way, we are being told something else now. But we'll go through the this memorandum of understanding, because what really happened there, I don't think is there in the memorandum of understanding that TBSA must do that thing. In law, Chair, there is something where they say, I don't know whether I'm saying the right thing, piercing the corporate veil, where you want to do something that you are ordinarily not allowed to do. So you use TBSA to do that which you don't want to do. But when you look at it, it's you who is doing it. You will remember the Adro case where they used the company to bought land because as an Indian they are not allowed to buy land. So that is what is happening, Chair. Thank you.
Is there any other members with follow-up questions? None. SAT?
Thanks, Chair. As I said, we will make sure you get the full set of meetings since the board began. Just to be clear, we reported back in the last meeting on Q1, which is why they're not here. And the meetings in Q2 are a complete list, so you can see from those 22 and 23 that during July there were the subcommittee meetings. Those are on 23, and that's where the work is done across marketing and awards and human capital and audit. And to answer Honourable Matumba's question, the audit committee has, in terms of the audit committee charter, has two independent members that serve on that audit committee as per normal governance aligned to King IV, and the Sanet Bota is one of those independent members. There was another independent member, Mr. Byers, who's resigned and he is in the process of being replaced. So that explains the membership on Audit and Risk Committee. For the rest of them, because the board is only four, Chair, a quorum is two, which explains that question around the meeting on the 8th. We record it with two of the four members. But the way this board is running the subcommittees is with individual leading each of those. So HR and audits are led by Koleka, and marketing and awards are led by Dirty. So those are the subcommittees that happened through the course of July in this cycle. So they were an ordinary, not the ordinary meetings referred to in the Act, and that answers your question, I think, Chair, around what is the definition of an ordinary meeting. It's essentially the quarterly meeting, one of the four, that happens in terms of Section 18 of the legislation. So obviously, we'll give you the full report. I won't run through them one by one, but there was a huge amount of work for this board to do through this period, starting with induction through all of the issues that we've ventilated at length with this committee. So there were, and the Honourable Matumbo referenced the correspondence and things. All of the board positions were established through resolutions at board meetings, and many of those board meetings had to take place as special meetings in terms of 18.2A. So they were called by me as the chair in terms of 18.2A. And so that's the distinction between special meetings and ordinary meetings on slide 22. I think, but Chair, that doesn't take back from the fact we'll give you the full Q1, Q2 list, and I've already asked the company secretary for that. I think that covers it on my side.
I think I need to correct you, Mr. Harris, so that when you leave this meeting, you don't repeat what you just said, because you are misrepresenting the contents of the Act of Tourism. The Act of Tourism says the board must hold at least 4 ordinary meetings every year. Doesn't speak of quotas. Now, must, in terms of the law, has a particular meaning. And may, in terms of the law, has a particular meaning. And there's a distinction between the two. Now, we need not to misrepresent the Act so that we are covered. The Act is clear, it's written black and white. This clause that you are quoting yourself and Honorable Matumba, incorrectly so. So I thought it's important that I read the Act. Subsection. The board must hold at least 4 ordinary meetings every year. That's what it says. So we must not leave this meeting with a wrong understanding that because there was a report in the previous quarter, so this report of this quarter is different from that of the previous quarter. Which is why, as a portfolio committee in the last meeting, we were clear to say, submit the breakdown of the meetings of the board and the remuneration thereof. That was the decision of the meeting. So you decide to come to this meeting with a short-circuited information, as if as members of the portfolio committee were people that suffers from amnesia. And that's not the case. Because we know that the board was appointed around May, but Honorable Matuma says April. But there is no report on the meetings from the appointment of the board. Now, I want to urge you that you submit that information before the end of business today. Because it's an information that is there. So that's for you to copy and paste in a spreadsheet. And that should be one report. That these were the board meetings and this is the remuneration per board member. A report which does not even reflect on the financials of the entity. I don't know why it's not there. Perhaps that's a question for another day. So I'm going to allow you to continue and respond to the questions which are raised.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on board fees and the rate from Honorable Matumba on what if the rate is the same, whether the board fees is a virtual meeting or a physical meeting. I think from a board fee perspective, the rate is aligned to the Treasury guideline on what to pay. So for the board fees, it's the same, but the differentiator is that because you're not traveling, you don't get the additional fees, so you don't get your subsistence. You don't get to claim for your flights and your accommodation if it's a virtual meeting. So that's the answer on board fees. So that's why it would be lower than from a cost perspective if it's a virtual meeting. But again, I think just to close the loop and for completeness, the actual expenditure is based on the fact that whether or not a member wants to be paid for their services. We've had even in the past where members have elected not to be paid for their services. Chair, those were the questions. I think the question on summer campaign, I'll just allow the COO to talk to it. I know she had already started on the work that Tourism Institution is doing around the summer campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the summer campaign, just to maybe add to what I've just said as well, is that so the summer campaign is running from October all the way to the fourth quarter, and what we do is also look at the research to sort of say what does it tell us in terms of the behavior of the consumers. As things stand, we know that 2 out of 3 people traveling domestically, the research is telling us that they get their information from social media. So in the campaign that we are currently rolling out, we've been very heavy on social media. But as I said, above the line, below the line campaign in terms of radio, TV, out of home, that is going ahead as we speak. And then in addition to that, which probably is what the member is looking for in terms of the job creation, is the part around activations that are earmarked around the provinces in collaboration with our provincial tourism partners. But as we are right now, the campaign is currently rolling out. It is on many of the media platforms, and we then continue to collaborate then with the provinces as far as activations are concerned, which would bring in an element of sort of a human factor to the campaign. But largely the campaign is driven from a radio, TV, and digital and social platforms, as I've mentioned. There was just a question that maybe I did not talk to, which was asked by Honorable Keta Mabale around the issue of the number of the targets that were achieved. Just to reiterate there on page 8, what we said is that for this quarter, we're showing you quarter 1 and quarter 2 there, but quarter 2, we had planned targets of 52. We achieved 44 of those targets, which gives us an 80% target of achievement. So that, and then we then explained where we did not achieve the targets, which is largely a lot of it is linked to capacity issues, including the issues of people with disabilities. When we do get into the recruitment drive, we have put in plans now to say how will we mitigate that in terms of partnership with the Association for the Disabled, in terms of using the learnings of the department. So that plan is on 10 key, but can only be activated when the moratorium is then lifted. So I wanted just to respond to that, so we don't sort of not respond to that particular question. Yes, thank you, members.
On your MOU with the TBCSP, Doleo, what's going on? On the MOU with the TBCSA, I noticed that there's something unusual in a contractual agreement where one person signs for two entities. What is the correlation between TOMSA and TBCSA? Because in your contract, the CEO of TBCSA signed on behalf of both Thomsa and TBCSA. And those are two different companies, and the registrations on that document, they show that they were registered in different times. So what's the correlation between the two? And whether it's legal for one to sign for both, so that we understand this MOU which you have with them, whether it's legal or not. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. So they are both under one umbrella. So it's a group of companies, or in fact, in this instance, it's two companies. I know that one manages the affairs of Thomsa, so that's TBCSA, and they have a board and a CEO. And then Thomsa is then responsible for the collaborator fund, and that's the link between the two. I mean, I'm willing to go back just to confirm, you know, and I give a true account of the two persons, or the person that has signed on board. And I know that on our side, it would have been vetted by legal to check if the MOU is valid or not.
So it is one CEO. The two different entities with one CEO. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Chair, they have one head for TBCSA, who manages the affairs of Thomsa.
Ask the advocate to assist us. If there is no other questions, honorable members, I wish to thank South African Tourism appearing before the Portfolio Committee. Account and allow us to do what we are elected to do, which is oversight and hold public entities accountable. And I'm hoping that after this meeting, you will be able to furnish the portfolio committee with all the information that we requested from you. And I think I'm going to say this for the last time, that when you come back to the portfolio committee, this issue of 0% on representation of people or persons living with disabilities must have been removed. And I hear you talking about the organogram that you are reviewing and what you view. But for me, it doesn't make sense. Because there's a moratorium that is, you know, preventing you from implementing this. In the report which you presented here, the issue of a moratorium is a hot potato. And when is this moratorium going to be lifted, Mr. Timaref? Perhaps in the next meeting. You need to tell us. You need to engage the minister. Can't have a moratorium forever. The moratorium has to be lifted. Because part of your understanding is on this issue of vacancies that are there. Because you can't fill vacancies now, there's understanding. That's what the report is saying. We appreciate to hear that 115 million from the Thompson levies was eventually transferred and paid to SAT. The 1 minute 45 seconds video of Mr. Trevor Noah did not affect that part or chunk that was supposed to be paid over to South African tourism. And that we need to be finished with all the committee members of the committees of the board so that we are able to see and know people that are at the helm of this particular entity. On the issue of the summer campaign, you are saying that the summer campaign has started already, but you are not telling the portfolio committee where was the summer campaign launched and when was it launched or whether it will be able to yield results. Because the last summer campaign which you reported to the portfolio committee at some point were impressed because it yielded results and it created jobs, especially for young people which are unemployed. But this time around, the response is blurry. It does not speak to that effect, hoping that when you come back to the portfolio committee, you will be able to table and highlight the effect of this particular campaign. In your next meeting, we're hoping that you will be able to table on how you intend to mitigate the issues of overexpenditure, which is a red flag in almost all your programs. I hear the CFO is saying that on the issue of the prepayments, since the AG reported to our meeting that you are only carrying out the prepayments not unless they are contractual or part of the contract, because one of the things which the AG raised was that the prepayments which were incurred were not on the contracts of those establishments that are working with the entity. We need to have a breakdown of all the over expenditures and the reasons why there were over expenditures, and that breakdown must be explicit, and it must be crafted such that it's not blurry, as we will be looking at it already in that. So on that note, thank you very much for availing yourselves. And for a change, Mr. Tim Harris said, and from the beginning to the end of our meeting, we must applaud him for that. So it means then, therefore, the minister must not be in these meetings, so that he sits from the beginning to the end, and the DG must not come, so that he takes responsibility of this entity. Sit from the beginning to the end of the meeting. We'll tell the minister and the DG not to come to these meetings of South African Tourism more often, so that you are able to take lead of this particular entity. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. SAT can go. The last point on our agenda is the announcement. Do you have announcements? One, that Advocate Jenkins is still busy with what we had requested him to do. And secondly, as a portfolio committee, we need to visit Mr. Cherry, our portfolio committee secretary, because as a portfolio committee, we have not visited him in hospital. We have not visited him in his home. We've been sending flowers only. So our support team is working on that so that we